Welcome back to He Leadeth Me, a spiritual formation podcast for Focus staff, students, and friends. I'm Jessica, Manager of Spiritual Formation for Focus, and today I'm joined by Father John Ignatius Ezrati, one of our national chaplains. Thanks for joining me today, Father.
Hey, Jess. Thanks for having me. It's always a joy to be with you.
So I'd like to talk today about the practice of frequent confession. And I had this idea because I went to confession a few days ago. It was a Saturday. I try to go every Saturday or maybe every other Saturday. And I'm always edified by how many people are in line. And so, like, usually there's 20 to 30 people at this parish where I go to. So very faithful parish. I stand in line for a while, examine my conscience, I get in there. And I think that those of us who confess frequently notice that we tend to repeat the same sins, and we wonder, am I growing at all? And we try to have sorrow for our sins, but because you're continually confessing the same sins, you feel like, I don't have as much sorrow as I wish I did. And I think that for me and for a lot of other people, we wish that we could go deeper in this sacrament, which we know is incredibly powerful, but we're just not sure how to go deeper. So that's what I want to talk about today. But first, let's talk about the sacrament of confession just in general. Why should we go to confession?
Yeah, that is a great point, Jess. Thanks for asking and for this episode. I think it's very, very important in our spiritual life, especially in our times when, you know, confession is undervalued, I guess,
mm-hmm.
because people don't see the need, because sometimes, unfortunately, parishes don't offer the opportunity for people to go to confession. Something that I saw in my priestly life is when you start offering the opportunity for people to go to confession, at the beginning, maybe people don't go because they don't know. But once you offer the opportunity, they start going. And I saw that in my own life when I went to different parishes, you know, kind of, if you offer the opportunity, people will go. So that is great. Now, confession is something that is essential to our spiritual life. It's one of the seven sacraments. So just imagine when Jesus instituted the sacraments, he instituted only seven. I mean, he could have created, I don't know, 100. And he decided not only seven. And one of those seven sacraments is the sacrament of confession. And for me, that is very encouraging because I think that Jesus thought, well, these friends of mine will continue to sin. They will mess up and I have to do something about it. So I think that in a certain way, and God forgive me if this is wrong, but I mean, I think Jesus expected and expects that we will sin. And because he loves us so much, he said, well, I give you a way to be purified, to receive my mercy, to receive my forgiveness, and to receive more grace so that you can keep going. So that is important. So there should never be discouragement when we see that we go to confession frequently or that we confess many times the same sins, because in a certain way, we are kind of expected to do that. But well, I mean, confession, as we will talk about today, will give us the grace to try to avoid sin and to grow and overcome the moments of temptation.
Yeah, for me, it's always valuable to remember that St. Thomas Aquinas says that confession is a healing sacrament. And sin harms our soul. Sin makes us sick. And St. Thomas says that the penance that you receive from the priest is supposed to be the medicine for the effects of sin in your soul. And Jesus knows that we are weak, we are going to sin, and he's going to provide us with that medicine.
Yeah, he's a divine physician. I mean, he himself says that he didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Now, we have to go to confession if we are in mortal sin. But then there's also something that we hear about very frequently called frequent confession. And that is not for mortal sins, right? It's for venial sins. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. So every time we have in our conscience a mortal sin that we committed, we need to go to confession. Otherwise, we cannot approach to communion. Okay? That is something that all of us know. But technically speaking, yeah, when you commit a venial sin, you don't need to go to confession in order to go and receive Jesus in the Eucharist. However, it is good to go to confession. It is good to confess those venial sins, not only because of the sins in themselves, but because I think one of the goals of frequent confession is to avoid this compromise with sin. which means we get used to sinning. Mm-hmm. And then we say, well, it was a small thing. It is not so important. Come on. A sin is always a sin. It's always an offense against God, no matter how big it is. It is, in a certain way, always infinite because it offends God. So we want to make sure that we feel that sorrow to say, I don't want to offend God. I remember this lady many, many years ago. I was a young priest, and I used to go every Saturday afternoon to a nursing home to celebrate Mass. And there was this lady, older lady who was blind, always sitting on the front row. And I remember once before Mass, she approached me and said, Father, can I go to confession? And I said, yeah, of course. And she continued and said, you know, Father, I, by the grace of God, I don't have any mortal sins, but I have dust in my heart and I want to sweep it out. And I think that is such a good comparison of what frequent confession is about. I mean, maybe we don't have the mud of mortal sin, but we have dust, and you want your house to be clean. So you go to confession because you don't want to get used to the dust in your house. You want your house to be clean, so you want your heart to be clean. And going to frequent confession implies you receive God's forgiveness, obviously, so you are clean, but also you receive grace and you receive strength and encouragement to keep going on this journey towards holiness.
Yeah, you know, I was reading the encyclical on the mystical body by Pope Pius XII, and he gives 8 reasons why you should engage in the practice of frequent confession, even though it isn't necessary to confess venial sins. And Jesus can heal them in a variety of other ways through devotional practices and through your own personal prayer. And yet, Pope Pius XII recommends frequent confession for these reasons. I'm going to read them. Genuine self-knowledge is increased. Christian humility grows. Bad habits are corrected. Spiritual neglect and tepidity are resisted. The conscience is purified. The will strengthened. Self-control is attained. And grace is increased in virtue of the sacrament itself. Those are some really good reasons.
That is awesome. I mean, that encyclical, by the way, I think that any person who wants to grow in their spiritual life needs to go to frequent confession. I mean, it's not just a piece of advice. I think if we want to be saints, and Pope Pius XII says it very clearly, we need to go to confession. Look at all the virtues that you practice when you go to confession frequently. I mean, yeah, you don't have any mortal sin to confess, but you practice the virtue of self-knowledge, humility, trust, surrender, sorrow for your sins, resolutions for the future. So many things that you want to show Jesus, that you want to be closer to him. That not only do you trust in his mercy and love, which you receive in the sacrament, but you trust also in his promise that he gives us way more so that we can grow closer to him. So those virtues of trust, surrender, repentance are essential for our spiritual life. And maybe you don't think about them when you go to confession, but you practice them just by going to confession.
Yeah, I think the one that strikes me the most is humility, because it's humbling to realize that I'm confessing the same sins every week. And even though I make efforts to grow in virtue, I still confess the same sins. I still fall. I remember once hearing Scott Hahn speak on this when he started going to confession frequently. At one point, he said to the priest, Father, I feel bad that I'm confessing the same sins. And the priest said, well, do you want to start committing new sins? He's like, no. But it is humbling to realize that I fall again and again. But it also really makes you aware of God's mercy, that he forgives me again and again. And he picks me up and he helps me to try again.
Yeah, it's a way to recognize our weakness. You know, when we go to confession and we say our act of contrition, we say that we promise not to sin anymore. We say that. But we know that we're going to sin. So how do you put those things together? Because you want to stop sinning. I mean, you really want to not offend God. But we know that we are weak, and that is why confession can be frequent. And Jesus didn't say, as at the beginning of the church, there was a whole confusion among the first Christians. When you receive baptism and you fall again, well, that means that you are done. I mean, you cannot be forgiven again. And then you will go to confession only once in your life. And then the church explained, no. The mercy of God shows that you are, as I said before, kind of expected to sin. So you can go to confession as many times as you need and you want. And that is why the church in the past centuries has encouraged, and especially in the past decades, encouraged frequent confession more and more, because We know that we're weak. We know that we will sin, but we don't want to sin. And this is very important. Sometimes people want to experience and to feel repentance.
Yeah.
And they say, go to confession, but I don't feel anything. Well, welcome to the club, because, you know, I mean, that is pretty common. You know, repentance is not a feeling. Sometimes we feel something. It's a grace of God, and we feel that we are really sorry for our sins. And that is beautiful. But many times we don't feel anything. And I want to tell our listeners, don't worry about that, because repentance is an act of the will. Even sorrow for our sins, besides the sensible sorrow, is an act of the will. It means to say, I wish I hadn't done what I did. And I hope I will not do it again. If we are able to say that, that is sorrow for sins, that is repentance, and that is one of the main conditions for confession. So the fact of going to confession, the fact of going to a priest who represents Christ and just spitting out our miseries there, you know, that shows humility, and that shows that we don't like what happened. So be at ease. We don't have to feel something. Sometimes, you know, some scrupulosity can creep in, and I have to feel something I don't feel. I am really repenting of my sins. Do I have real sorrow? If you go to confession, you can be sure that you have the sorrow. And again, if you can say, I wish I hadn't done what I did, even if I don't see clearly why I did it, and I hope I will not sin again, that is more than enough. It's real sorrow, it's real repentance, and that is what we need for confession.
Now, we keep using the word frequent confession. How are we defining frequent? And especially, like you just pointed out, some people struggle with scrupulosity. If somebody is really trying to grow in their relationship with the Lord, they can hear that, oh, I need to go to frequent confession, and they might become scrupulous about it. So how are we defining frequent, and how do we avoid scrupulosity?
What a question. But I saw it coming. Yeah. So anyway, frequent confession, I mean, it's hard to say. I would never say, well, it should be every this amount of time, because it depends on the person. It depends on their stage in spiritual life. That is something that you want to talk about with your spiritual director. However, we are talking to people who really want to grow in spiritual life, so we can give some guidelines. So guys know that we will say something. So frequent confession, I would say, I mean, not less frequent than once a month, let's say. So try to go to confession once a month for sure. And sometimes you can go every 3 weeks, every 2 weeks. Some people go every week as well, which is beautiful. You have to be careful that, as Jess said, scrupulosity doesn't come in, because, I mean, it's a risk. So I would say talk to your spiritual director, but as a rule of thumb, go every month, every 2 weeks. It's very good for frequent confession.
Now, how do you recommend that people really receive the most that they possibly can out of this sacrament?
You know, I think for every sacrament, actually, our dispositions are essential. So, I mean, it is our desire to receive God's grace. Knowing, in the case of confession, knowing that we are weak, but the Lord always gives us His grace. And His grace is infinite. So the more our desires, the more grace we're going to receive. So I would suggest for those who go to confession, always to examine your conscience, to make sure that you just spend time examining your conscience. In the podcast, there are some episodes about the examine prayer, which is useful. It's not directly related to confession in the sense we don't do that for confession, but it helps, because it helps our self-knowledge. So the examination of conscience is what helps us know ourselves better. And you need some time to think about it. Just the fact that you are investing time in that shows your interest in going deeper in your confessions. Then go to the root. So, for example, you realize that you were uncharitable with your roommate, for example, or your teammate. Don't stay on the surface and go and say, I was uncharitable. Just think and ask yourself and ask God in prayer, what triggered that? Why was I uncharitable with my roommate? What triggered that? Maybe it's I am very selfish and I think about myself, or maybe I lack patience and, I mean, their defects, you know, bother me more than they should. Try to go to the root. So that already shows an interest in change, in transformation. And then when you go to confession, you say the sin, and you can even share with the priest, I think that the root is because I like comfort too much. And that is another sin that we need to confess, you know. And finally, always try to make a resolution. To say, well, I will try to be better in this case with my roommate, for example, by preparing myself when they come and they say something that may bother me or whatever. So the desire for change, to be better, that also shows a big desire to grow in spiritual life. So that is a great way for us to use confession, not just as the forgiveness of sins, but way more. Once I heard this comparison that I love and I use a lot, confession is not like a car wash. You know, you go into the tunnel, you go in dirty, and you come out clean. No, confession is an encounter. It's an encounter with Christ. So, yeah, you will be clean. I mean, yeah, God forgives your sins, but there's way more. Jesus tells you how much he loves you. He tells you how much he trusts in you, how much he counts on you. So it's this encounter that eventually becomes an encouragement to keep going. The saint is not the one who never falls. The saint is not the one who never sins. The saint is the one, when they sin, they go to confession. They ask God for forgiveness and they try again. When they fall, they get back up and they keep running. So that is what we want. And that is why Jesus, in his mercy and love, gave us this opportunity to get up and keep going.
So that was three pieces of advice there. Let me see if I remember each one. It was examine your conscience, get to the root of your sin, and make a resolution.
Yeah, you're a teacher. You're good.
I want to unpack that a little bit more. So you recommended the examine prayer. So I've still been pretty faithful in my New Year's resolution to pray the examine prayer. And for me, it's really helpful to write things down, just a few bullet points in my journal each evening. And there is a part of the examine prayer where you have sorrow for sin. And I find it really helpful just to look at my journal entries from the past week before I go to confession. And that can remind me, oh, this day I examined my conscience and this sin came up. And then I can kind of see the patterns. But examining your conscience is just so crucial, because when we're standing in line, maybe we can remember a few sins, like our public faults. And yet, if you get a really good examination of conscience, it can help you get to the root, just like you were talking about. My spiritual director gave me one by Saint Anthony Marie Claret, and I find it super helpful because, yes, he does do the laundry list of the obvious venial sins, like was I impatient or something like that. But he also asks questions in this examination of conscience that get to the root of why I committed such and such sin. And you're right, that is so important.
You know, Jess, you mentioned the laundry list, and I think that is very important also. When you think about your life, you have to be very concrete. Sometimes, you know, people go to specific examination of conscience and say, well, did I kill anyone? No. Did I steal? Mm-hmm. No. And I say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, because that is not your life. So what I suggest, and what I myself do is, you know, you create a kind of a list of questions for yourself. You know your life. You know your challenges. You know who are the people who are more challenging for you. So you just write down questions to guide your examination. I mean, it doesn't mean that it always will be the same questions, but you know, I mean, you don't want to get distracted. So you know that you are struggling with laziness. So, well, one of the questions will be, did I jump out of the bed this morning when the alarm went off? Another question could be, did I do my job diligently or did I put off? Did I start working when I had or did I waste time just browsing in the internet? Because all these things are maybe manifestations of kind of laziness. Or maybe we are working on charity or patience. So we know who are the people who drive us crazy, so we can ask questions. How did I treat this particular person? Was I intentional in my conversation with this person or with my parents or whatever? So each one of us has different challenges. So through the examination of conscience, you will know those challenges. And then to be thorough when you examine your conscience for confession, you may want to have a kind of a list of questions. Again, it is not that you cannot move away from those questions, but it will help you be focused when you examine your conscience. Many people write them down. That is good. I mean, it is not necessary. And remember always, and this is a very practical piece of advice, when you go to confession, sometimes you forget sins. Don't freak out about it, because many times we forget, and then after confession, we remember. So what I usually do when I go to confession, when I list my sins to the priest, and I finish, and I say, I want to ask God for forgiveness for all the sins that I don't remember in this moment. And that means all the sins that I'm not aware of, they are in the bag. They go into the confessional. So then if I remember, oh, I forgot to say this, well, it was included. So that is very important, because the matter of the sacrament, what is needed is all the sins that we have in our conscience at this moment, the moment of confession. So if I forget, well, I forgot. Now, we should never obviously conceal a sin, because that will render our confession invalid. But if we forget something, that is fine. So some advice is always at the end of your confession, say, and I always ask forgiveness for those sins that I don't remember at this moment.
You know, one of the things that really helps me when I'm preparing for confession is to think about what the sacrament of confession is. I took a class on the sacraments when I was in college, and I'm always really edified when I remember the history of the sacrament of confession, because it started off with you just confess your mortal sins. But frequent confession really developed with monks in Ireland, and they started to use the sacrament of confession for venial sins. And what they would do is they would read a scripture passage, and if this scripture passage kind of broke open their hearts and made them aware of their sinfulness and God's mercy, they would go to their confessor, who was supposed to be the same person each time they confessed, and they would actually read that scripture passage in their confession and then confess their sins, and they would put their head on their confessor's breast while they confessed their sins. And the confessor was called their annam karam, which is Gaelic. I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, but it means the friend of my heart. And so you have this really intimate idea, understanding of what the sacrament of confession is supposed to be. The word of God breaks open your heart and you experience this repentance. But I also remembered in that class, we talked about the name for the sacrament of confession. And everybody thinks that it's supposed to be, I'm confessing the stuff that I did wrong. And that is one element of it. But when you're confessing your sins, you're also confessing God's mercy, or the priest is confessing to you God's mercy. And that's why he's called the confessor, even though you're the one confessing sins, because he's confessing God's mercy. And so that's just really powerful for me to remember when I go to the sacrament of confession. Sometimes I use the scriptures for an examination of conscience. You know, maybe the Beatitudes, have I been merciful? Have I been a peacemaker? And then I also remember that this is really more about the priest's confession to me than about my confession to him, because God's mercy overcomes all of my sins.
Yeah, and there's nothing that God will not forgive. So I think that is the greatness of this sacrament, to know that whenever we go or whatever we say, we'll be forgiven. And the saints say that when we go to confession and receive God's forgiveness and love, many times God can even raise us up higher than we were before confession. Because as we said before, when we confess our sins, we are practicing virtues of trust, humility, surrender. So by practicing those virtues, the Lord can, grab them and just lift us up. And you know, that is so beautiful to see many saints who are a product of God's mercy. St. Augustine, St. Mary Magdalene, many other saints who, you know, they experience the mercy and their holiness is a fruit of the mercy of God in their lives.
Now, you said that your third piece of advice was to make a resolution. So let's talk a little bit about that. Now, I think that that's something different than the penance, right?
Yeah, the penance is something, you know, every sin, when we go to confession, the sin is forgiven, the guilt is removed, but we still need to, quote unquote, pay for what we did. So that is why it's the penance. So if we don't pay in this life, we will pay in the next one, in purgatory. So that is why it's a symbolic penance in a certain way, because the offense is always against God. But the priest wants to make sure that we, quote unquote, pay for what we did. If you break your neighbor's window playing baseball, you know, the neighbor can say, okay, no worries, I know that you guys were playing, I forgive you, but you gotta pay for it, you know? Mm-hmm. So this thing happens when we sin. I mean, God forgives, justice needs to be paid for. So mm-hmm. That is the penance. The resolution is more an internal thing. By resolution, I mean our desire to stop sinning. So what are the means that I will use to avoid the occasion of sin? What am I going to do in my life so that if the occasion presents itself again, I will overcome it? And that is a resolution. To say, well, I will make sure that if I was selfish and I didn't talk to my parents, well, I will make sure that I will call them once a week, for example. If this particular friend of mine gets annoying sometimes, well, I will make sure that when they get annoying, I will just put a good face and ask them questions. Those are resolutions, okay? Things in which you can overcome yourself, overcome many times a bad tendency that we may have, which is the one that makes a sin, so that eventually we will sin less.
And I want to return to what you said about paying for sin. It reminds me of something that happened several years ago where one of our leaders was telling me that his two sons broke their garage door when they were away. The parents were doing something. The parents came back and they heard the boys whispering to each other, "Just don't tell them, they won't notice." And one of them says, "No, I'm going to tell them what we did." So he goes and he tells his father what he did. And the father was really moved that he confessed it rather than just thinking that they weren't going to notice, which of course they're going to notice. And he said, "So you need to pay for what you did." And he said, "You know, obviously I know that he's what, a 12-year-old or something. And he can't pay the enormous amount of money that it's going to cost to fix this garage door. But I am going to make him pay something out of his allowance, not because I need it, but because he needs it. He needs to grow in virtue. There needs to be some justice here." And I remember hearing that story and thinking, wow, that's just like confession. Because we can't pay God back for the infinite offense that it is to his perfect goodness. But he knows that we need to, because it helps us to grow in virtue.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, and that is why the penance and the fulfillment of the penance is a condition in confession. So if, when you go to confession, the priest forgets to give you a penance, don't be shy and ask them, "Father, what is my penance for this confession?" Because sometimes, I mean, you can forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so penance is the medicine for the sin, and it's the justice that God requires of us, even a tiny bit of it. But so how would you go about making a resolution after your confession? So this resolution is more about not wanting to sin again. That's the prayer we pray in confession. We pray that we'll avoid whatever leads us to sin. Sometimes I pray that and I think I have to avoid all humans, but we do. We need to try hard to avoid what leads us to sin and also to try to grow in the opposite virtue. But I think sometimes that can feel overwhelming when we've had so many sins, and where do I start?
Well, pick one or two. You don't have to just change overnight. I mean, it's kind of difficult to do that. But I think that the resolution part of our examination of conscience and our confession is linked to the idea of going to the root of your sins. It's not so much about the actual action that you performed, but why you performed it. So as I said before, if I was rude to my roommate, well, that is because I may be selfish, or I may be thinking too much about my own comfort. So when I realize that, well, what can I do to stop thinking so much about my own comfort? So maybe, well, I will make the resolution to do dishes in my house, or to clean the bathroom, or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm inventing because situations are different. I'm thinking about, I mean, for example, when missionaries who live together, what can I do for my roommate or my teammate to be happier? So those are very practical resolutions that not that will change the actual sin, but will create a disposition in your heart to avoid sin when the temptation presents itself.
Well, this is great advice, Father. Could you close us in a blessing?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for this gift of the sacrament of reconciliation, in which not only do you show us your mercy and love for us, but also you give us encouragement by telling us that you love us and trust in us. We ask you to increase in our hearts this desire to be clean and pure before you, and to go to you every time we sin to experience your love and mercy. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, now I'm excited to go to confession. Thanks, everybody, for listening.